Yeah, G Creations, that one. I still like the way that thing looks, because I love how big it is. It's I wish it functioned as well as it looked. For me.
He's a floppy mess, isn't he?
Well, I mean, most combiners really. I haven't played with a combiner that wasn't a floppy mess.
And lovers of the plastic crack. This is your safe space, free from safety. So put your hands on some plastic. It's time for Toy Detox.
All right.
So we're good to record again?
Yeah, I'm recording now again. Yep.
Okay. So, I don't know if I've shared this with y'all. I'm about to share it with y'all if you haven't seen it yet. But I picked up a Lady Death comic that was only 10 ever made.
Oh no, right? You didn't share this with us. No.
I'm about to share it right meow. Stand fast. It's coming your way. It's a metal cover, jewel encrusted Lady Death cover.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and
it's jeweled.
Yeah, it's a jeweled. Bedazzled. Yes, bedazzled.
Bedazzled.
You see it? I uploaded on the chat. So.
Oh, I see. Okay, hold on. Let me log in.
Damn, that's a metal cover.
Yeah,
man.
That's badass, man.
Yeah, and you see all them bead-looking diamond parts right there, or whatever that is.
The jeans. I mean, the jeans, the pants, and the garter and stuff. Those like all raised metal?
Yeah, the cover itself is all metal. It's like made out of some kind of. Let's see if it'll put the description out in the.
Like a foil in the back. Or something like that.
Here's the backside. It explains, micro metal edition.
Damn.
10? Only 10?
Yes, only 10 made. And here's the thing: the reason why this one called out to me is because it was 210. 210 is my birth date, so I was like, it was meant to be.
Oh, I see. I get it.
Plus, I'm not even joking when I say, as I was walking through the convention, I must have passed that fucking thing like a good 7 or 8 times. And then, you know, I met the creator. He was there. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? 210, the creator's here. He signed his shit. Let's get it done.
Who's that? Is that Rob Liefeld? That's not Rob Liefeld, right?
No. This is Brian Polito.
Oh, okay, my bad.
No, but Rob Liefeld was there, and I was sad because I forgot to bring the comics for him to sign. here's some sad news, though. The sad news is this cannot be slabbed. Because when I went to CGC and all the other places that slab, they said that they cannot, at this time, slab jewel-encrusted comics because it'll crush the...
Oh, yeah.
It'll wreck the book.
That process will probably, yeah.
So this thing's going to be kept raw forever until they can come up with some kind of system for this kind of thing, which I don't think they'll be doing because this is one of those rare situations. It's not a common theme at the moment, common enough theme for them to be financially lucrative.
I mean, but you can't slab it, but you can still, you know, somehow protect it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I put it in a Mylar sleeve and a top loader, so it's nice. And it's framed, so.
Right, you good.
But yeah, that was the main expensive buy. Everything else was me taking a couple of things to be slabbed at CGC that saved money on, so I didn't have to ship it myself. Got Neil Adams to sign one of my comic books, which was a pretty big deal. So I'll show it all to you while when it all comes in back from CGC after it's been slap. Because y'all know me, because it's great at 9.8. So
it's great at 9.8.
That's how I know.
Did you see any other celebrities?
You know, no. And to be honest, I try to avoid. Oh, you know what? There was a couple actually. But they're not the celebrities that you think that you'd run into at the con. You know, looking for UFC fighters, Brandon Vera.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know shit about UFC.
Okay, so you're gonna love this, right? So every year, every con that I got into, and you know that I was able to luckily get into a Thursday showing, they have a kung fu panel every night at Thursday night that I attend, and they were promoting this martial arts movie that came from that was done in the Philippines. So it's the first time that Philippines has participated in the martial arts action film industry. And Brandon Vera is part of that. So for me, you know, as a Filipino, it was kind of a proud moment that we finally stepped into the.
Yep.
Now, I got to admit, though, like, none of the stuff that we do is very glamorous at all. Like, you're not going to see no high, because our arts are just not meant to be flashy that way. Our arts are more gritty, dirty, some Born Identity shit. Like, mm-hmm. You know, some closer to what Krav Maga is versus.
Yeah, you know, Eskrima, right? Is that what it's saying? Exactly.
Yeah, Eskrima. Perfect. Exactly. So, yeah, that it was cool. Oh, but here's a really cool thing. Before that kung fu panel, right, I, you know, just to make sure I got a good seat, I stayed in a panel prior to that. And guess what? It turned out to be one of the better panels that I've ever been to. It was about a movie called the movie's called Shooting Clerks, which is basically a biopic of the people in the movie Clerks, like that, the actors in the end, Kevin Smith's story on trying to put the Clerks movie together.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I was, and so there's like a girl. Of course, it's being crowdfunded to do that. A lot of the things have been done already, but of course they still need help along the way. And it was just really cool to see, you know, because I saw Clerks, you know, when it first came out, well, not in America, but when it was home released in Japan, and that movie had such a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, back then, I was like, at first, who the fuck made this movie? Why is it black and white? Why? Who makes this kind of movie, you know? And at first, I was like, all right, well, there's nothing else to watch, so I'm just going to sit through and watch this shit. Then I watched it, it turned out it was like one of the best things I ever saw. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I never, yeah, changed my perspective on the way film is done. And then, you know, of course, before the internet, everybody, all the news that people hear about this is word of mouth or articles in some kind of magazine or newspaper where, you know, like people were saying that Kevin Smith sold his comic book collection to fund his film, you know, that film back then. And I don't know. It's hard for me to believe, you know, how the hell news traveled at all back in the day. Because remember back then, in especially in the early 90s, when people were saying that Tommy Hilfiger was racist and they made clothes that he only made clothes for white people and not, you know, wasn't, he goes,
and it wound up not being true. Yeah,
exactly.
That was fake news before fake news was fake news.
Exactly. So how the fuck does something like that travel without internet back then? You know what I mean? How did we know that you know, Richard Gere stuck gerbils up his ass, you know, back? You know, who comes up with these urban, you know, myths? But a lot of this turns out, you know, and it's just weird to find that some of this stuff was actually accurate. And I don't know how the heck, you know, people spread those kind of news back in the day without the internet or social media back then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it was real neat to see the way these actors were trying to portray the actors, like art, imitating life, imitating art kind of situation. I'm looking forward to this movie because it looks pretty good. And plus I was a big fan of Clerks anyway too. So yeah, the closest thing to celebrity I saw was those guys trying to, a bunch of young up-and-comers, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if some of those guys ever got, you know, real roles outside of this project. And yeah, it was totally bizarre to hear James Gunn getting fired on Friday. I was like, gosh dang, you were supposed to come here to say something, and you got canned that day. You know?
Wow.
And then shortly afterwards, you hear about, oh, then now that Rick and Morty dude. I was like, oh no, two of my favorite things. Going down in flames.
Rick and Morty.
Right? So. I'm sorry I hijacked most of this, but yeah, that's.
No, no, that's cool. It's cool. Shit, man, you went to SD fucking CC, bro. Like, I want to hear all that shit. I'm sure the listeners want to hear it too.
There, you know what? Here's another really good thing about SDCC. I'm kind of glad that the population changed too, because I'm not lying when I say that anytime I can spit game, when I'm not focused on a mission on there, I spit game. Mm. And you know, when I was in line, obviously waiting for the next thing to happen, or for whatever purchase, there just happened to be this one shorty that was there, and I was like. She's been quiet the whole time, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm like, you know, what kind of, you know, straight person does not say what's up to a slightly attractive, you know, nerd chick that's kicking it online? So I was definitely saying what's up, and there was a vibe, but then the line moved, and they're like, oh, gotta go, toys.
You gotta go.
Right, but I don't know. It's just kind of like the thing about it is, I know I could have got the number. You definitely know when you got something, you know, when you got them wrapped around your finger and shit. But at that moment, I was just like, I still got it. Could do it again some other time. This is con. Got to get my toy. So that's what happened. Right. I gotta admit though, I was definitely inspired by William Fong, because that dude, that guy's a beast at cons. Anytime there's an attractive woman anywhere in a con, you can bet Will Fong is up to that challenge.
William Fong is literally like goals for me. Like that motherfucker is. Straight goals, like hashtag goals. Like, I want to be William Fong when I grow up. I never met him, neither. I never met him. Not a day in my life. I've never met the dude. I barely, you know, interacted with him on the boards. Like, but his hair, his physique, his look. I'm gay for that dude. Like,
yeah, I think all of us are. I think most of the fandom are. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? That's the truth. He's exactly what you describe him as, man. This guy's got a heart of gold too, man. Like, he's so generous. When I first met him, and he didn't know me from shit or nothing, right? We just happened to be moderating the same chat or group one day, and dude, this guy bought me the only Christmas present that I had that entire year, man. I was like, wow.
Cool.
William Fong, that's so cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know my parents would have and my family would have, but they was broke as fuck. So I wasn't expecting for them to hit me up with nothing. But it was nice to see that somebody, you know, hook you up with something.
So, that's what's up.
Man, that guy's always going to be aces just because of that for me, you know?
That's good money. Anybody buys you some plastic crack, we'll feed your plastic crack habit. that's a good person.
Yeah, you'll be lucky if you ever meet him in real life, because to be honest, I think only last year was the only time he's ever really made an appearance in any of the cons, to be honest.
Oh, we're...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he's ever been in any of the other cons in Chicago or Toronto. But since he was so much closer to his house over in his side of the world in Florida, He was compelled to go. Plus, it didn't help. It also helped a lot that our boy Jason Lowry, man, that guy's one of the most generous motherfuckers in the planet.
Lowry,
that guy, dude. That guy's also one of my, you know, my brothers in this whole game and stuff. And just in general, like, you know, aside from y'all, and you know, some of the fools that I met in the Cool Table Network. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was to drop this hobby, you know, I'd still want to be friends and hang out with all of, you know. all y'all in shape.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fact. So. Same here. Yep, exactly. If I never bought another toy ever again, I would still, you know, enjoy. Even though, like, I know we had this conversation before about, you know, is it, are we in it for the toys, or are we in it for, you know, the comics, or are we in it for the you know, the people and the fans and the, you know, whatever it is. And I know I said I'm in it for the toys 100%, but you know, I share the same sentiment. Like I'm hella cool with all you guys, obviously, you know, my detox family, but
because you're right. When you think about the hobby is the hobby, and the hobby really is the addiction that we're feeding ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And it just and sometimes the struggle in that addiction together, you know what I mean?
I know, right? We're codependents.
Exactly. When we're trying to get that fixed, of course, we're all about that, you know, all that shit, and fuck everybody else that's trying to rain on our fix.
And I live vicariously through people, like when Garrett got the when you got the yellow constructor.
No, I know. Yeah. Same here. I was excited for you, dude. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's
I
dope.
Still can't believe I own it.
I know, right? When I first got the clear green one, I was like, wow, like this is what all the hubbub was about. Because remember when he first dropped, everybody was like, yo, this is the shit, da 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 da, this is the best Devastator ever, da da da. And I was like, oh yeah, cool, all right, yeah, I'm looking. One of these days I'll get it. And you know, I bought Scrapper and Mixmaster, and then just never completed it. And then when the Terry Wong sold me the clear version as a gift set for like 200 and something bucks, I was like, yeah, I'm on it. And that was just like, wow. When you have it all put together, it's just like, this thing is just ridiculous. Like, I don't even, I know I said it before, but I'll repeat it again. Like, I don't even want any combiners unless they're that size. And like, that's it. Like, I'm spoiled now.
You're ruined. I don't blame you. So what do you feel about that Fans Toys freaking scale then? Because that thing looks like is their combiner's gonna be a beast too.
Wait, which one? The
they're Stunticons. Yeah, their Stunticons are the bot modes are significantly taller.
Yeah. I'm about it, man. You already know, man. Like, I like big bots, and I cannot lie. So
I'm down for it too. I'm a Fans Toys fanboy, though. I'm into that. So.
Yeah, Fans Toys is dope. So
yo, Garrett, Garrett. Next year, I'm definitely gonna. If I'm lucky enough to get in the con next year, I got you. Just. Keep it within reason, whatever it is you're asking for.
I want to make it one time, especially since San Diego's only like 4 or 5 hours away from me.
Yeah, you got to get into that dance, man. You got to get into the dance once in your life. It's one of those things. Like if there's a bucket list thing, this is one of those things, man.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I am planning on coming up to California within the next either the first or. The second or third weekend of August. Forgot to say it was August 1st.
Bro, Frankensons, if you've already been there, it's pretty much...
Oh, I love Frankensons.
Okay,
Wait, what is that? For us East Coasters, what are you guys talking about?
Okay, so let me put it to you.
Just collectibles.
Yes, it's okay. Basically nerd swap meet heaven.
Wow.
You know, because
it is my Disneyland.
Yes, basically. Now the thing is, here's the funny thing about Frankensons, right? Those guys are Scalpers Row in SDCC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so pretty much all those motherfuckers on Scalpers Row are all the guys from SDCC. Mm. So, yeah, man, I love those guys because, I mean, of course, they're the ones that sell stuff outrageously, but if you don't have some and they got it, you know what I mean? Yeah, they usually have it. So, yeah, even you just got to pay a premium for that shit. That's for sure. Like that pit builder.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna, that pit builder figure from back in the day, like the Marvel Legends pit. You know, except it's not. Yeah, that sucker was going for $300. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Garrett. I'm sorry.
The one shop that I get all my third-party stuff over there, they usually give me pretty good deals.
Like those hung deals? Like hung to go deals?
Well, that was who I got the Tarn and the Megatron from.
Oh, okay.
MMC ones.
Okay, describe the discount. Is it like 20 or like 10 or 5?
Oh, it was like 200 for both.
Oh, that's not too bad. Not too bad at all.
And it was his last turn, so I got very lucky.
Yes. I'm wondering if Tarn might be too niche even for the people in LA.
Wait, you said Tarn might be too niche for people in LA?
Yeah, because if Tarn has managed to stay in that guy's inventory for that long, then LA, for as big of a market as it is, and Frankenstein's is pretty.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows to go there if there's something in their collection that's missing. Yeah, then maybe Tarn might be even too niche for LA.
Hmm. But hopefully I can make it down there soon. I'll let you know when I go up there. Maybe we can meet up and chill.
Yeah, I plan on going there once again, at least to visit. But yeah, August at this time of the year over there is gonna be, well, since you're from Vegas, you're no stranger to heat. But for me, woo! It's gonna be a heat dish. But yeah,
Frankenstein has an entire week of 120.
Woo! So basically, hell came up for a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's my shit. I love hot weather like that.
I promise you, if you were ever in California, that in especially Southern California, Frankenstein's is going to be your shit. That's the place where you're going to go, because sometimes comic book people go there to sign stuff, or athletes for sports cards and shit, and sometimes you just find some really obscure shit there, like vintage video games, old school comics, just again anything that's collector related. There's usually something there for y'all. I was there.
Whatever you're looking for, they usually have it. No matter which booth it's at, someone will have it.
Have something, yeah. Or they'll recommend. Yeah, somebody will recommend somebody within their network of friends. And it was crazy because I don't know if you how often you went to Frankenstein's before, but when I was there, there was this one guy that back in the day before Masterpiece was a thing. It was the Alternator slash what was the Japanese name for it before?
I have no idea.
But you know what I'm talking about with the alternators, though, right?
Yeah.
The Japanese had their own version, which was made out of premium die-cast metal versions of the alternators.
But they were the same olds?
Yeah, except they were better quality because of the die-cast at the time. There are guys there selling stuff for outrageous prices, and sometimes they just turn people away and go, no, we're not trying to sell it. I'm just keeping it on display.
Well, wait a minute. Why would you even have it out there if you're not trying to sell it?
I don't know. That's the most bizarre part. Believe me, I said the same exact thing you said. I was like, what? I got money burning in my pocket, and you're like, no, I'm not really trying to sell this right now. Why don't you check the other booth right there? I was like, what? Bizarre, man. Totally bizarre.
Okay, so my adventures in nerding.
Go ahead.
What did I do? Well, I did pick up that Figma Genji from Overwatch, which surprisingly was at Target, of all places.
Target? Really?
And what's funny is that they had it on their website under, like, those Neuroid figures or whatever those things are called.
Right.
So instead of paying the $80 that it originally was, I got it for $50.
Mm.
I'm not sure about the prices of those things. So, is that a good deal or a bad deal?
The original price was 80, and they had it under 50.
Oh wow!
And it's a good figure. I did get a few video games. I got Sonic Mania, which is pretty fun. It's kind of feels like the old classic Sonic games. I got the Mega Man X Collection. I freaking love those games.
Was it one thing for the whole?
All eight games, all eight Mega Man X games were in this one collection.
Nice. I love that series too. I was hoping to get it in the digital copies though. I got no space for that shit in my house anymore.
And I think you gotta pay for the, when you buy them online, you gotta do it separately. Like, you gotta do, like the first four is one bundle, and the second set is a whole nother bundle.
So it would be cheaper to get it, the hard copies, instead?
Yeah.
Yikes. Looks like I'm waiting for them Steam sales.
Pretty much. Right. But that's pretty much it. I didn't really do much.
I imagine it's hot.
Yeah. We had 40% humidity yesterday with 112 heat. It was bad. And I work in a warehouse, so it felt like a giant oven.
Man, it gets even... Yeah, I can imagine.
But you're about that heat. And I saw you working out in that heat.
You saw me posting that thing. Yeah, I love the heat, man. I'm a huge fan of hot weather. Like, I love hot heat. Like,
Have you ever been to Vegas?
Oh yeah, four times I've been to Vegas, and each time I was like, yo, I want to live here.
Here's the thing. I think we forget that Afrika for real is like African.
This shit don't bother me, man. This weather don't bother me at all, bro. Like, I love this shit. It's in my blood.
I hate it. I want to move so bad.
I don't mind heat. What I don't like is mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are any place where there's mosquitoes. That's why I can't do Florida, man.
Yeah, I will. You'll never find me in Florida. Forget about it. I mean, just for the potential for natural disasters is just crazy. Florida, like Tornado Alley, like California, particularly like near the San Andreas Fault or anything like that. Nah, bro, I'm good.
You want to know something crazy? If it does happen, I kind of want to see it happen. I don't want to be asleep when it happens. I want to see that shit.
Wait a minute, you trying to say you want to live through a real life Roland Emmerich film? Is that what you?
Basically, like if it's gonna happen, I want to be able to at least be alive to see it before the meteor falls and burns me alive. You know what I mean? I'll be like, oh shit, that was beautiful. Destroyed, burnt to a crisp or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point. I mean, it's inevitable. It'll probably be another... Well, shit, I can't... I remember reading some alarmist nonsense about, oh, yeah, next, 150, 200 years, that's when it's going to happen. But then I remember reading, like, a more level-headed scientific journal that said it could happen anywhere within the next 1,000 years. Like, who knows? But it is inevitable. California will split at some point, and not because of politics. Like, so it is what it is.
Hopefully, it'll look like
one thing. Go ahead, Yul.
I always imagine that if it happens, it'll be because of like some Thundar the Barbarian kind of shit, where the moon splits and the tides, and mutants and post-apocalyptic situations take place all over the place. So. Good, yeah, I'm sorry. My imagination gets the better of me when it comes to these natural disaster kind of situations.
But anyway, I was going to say, one thing I did this week was I paid for the this training certification I'm taking for AC and heating. I'm planning on getting into that.
Nice.
Yeah, I need a much better paying job than the one I have now.
You're in the right place for it, that's for sure, right?
Oh, especially in Vegas where everyone's AC goes out almost every other week.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, you'll always have a job.
And with that, I can take that almost anywhere, so I can
exactly.
I could finally move to California like I want.
Wait, where do you live now?
Vegas.
Vegas. Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would love to move to, like, L.A. one day. It's just one of my favorite places to visit.
L.A., for me, is too vast to want to stay. I can't do it. I could visit, but I would definitely need a guide. LA might as well be like New York to me. Just one of those places that's just too big for me to...
Well, usually when I'm in California, I'm usually visiting family in Irvine, which is only like 20 minutes from LA.
I could do that place. It's a lot smaller as far as in understanding how that the landscape works there, but the LA landscape in general, too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Orange County, not too big for me. I'm okay with the spot, the place in between Oceanside and Long Beach. But anything north of that, too much for me.
Isn't LA just like full of fake people though? Like every time this is just my ignorance, to be honest with you. I'll be 100%.
In my opinion, you're correct.
Oh, okay. And that's what everybody's like, oh, it's LA's full of fake people. That's all I ever hear. I don't know if that's true or not, but
we know about
LA, so
I will say this, that Southern California in general is very superficial. Mm.
And it never rains. Very superficial.
And what was that last part?
I said, and it never rains in Southern California.
Yeah, it barely does. Well, when it does, I'm so happy it does. But except when I'm driving, because everybody lose their damn mind in the doggone freeway.
Isn't that where that like huge 800 or 80,000 square acre wildfire just happened?
Yes, and you know what? It's always going to continue to happen. It's California is just built like that. There's just enough fauna and heat to cause this kind of disaster every single year.
Have you guys seen any of like the footage from like the firefighters, you know, fighting the blaze? Like that shit look crazy, yo. Like,
I'll tell you what is crazy. That like that fire's from miles away from where we live. The ashes fall in our neighborhood.
Wow, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I'm like, whoa. Where's all this ash coming from? Because the winds, the Santa Ana winds is blowing that fire, you know, the fire ash from at least a good 30 miles away to our Santa Ana woods.
Yeah, those fire. I mean,
once in a while, we'll even get some of the ashes.
Are you seeing? Yeah, you. Wow, I can believe that.
That far away. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the footage that I saw, man, it was just like, I was like, wow, like I've never seen anything like that before. Like it was just intense. Like it didn't make any sense. Like fire tornadoes, like small little tornadoes, fucking made of fire. Like what kind of Dante's Inferno? Fuck humanity, I'm taking back nature type of shit is this. Like, damn.
That's the one thing we got. And you know what? There's a lot of people... here's the crazier part, right? Anywhere I left out of California, people hate us. Can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa. Mm. I don't know what I've done to you guys personally. But the first thing... And here's the funny thing, right? I like to think that the first thing that people bring up is like, you're Filipino. You know what I mean? But no. The things that they keep me for is for being Californian.
That's funny.
I was like, whoa. I didn't know that we were a plague or something.
Yeah, motherfuckers hate people from Cali for some reason. I don't know. Everybody I've ever met from Cali was cool as fuck, so.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to be really laid back, but I will say that we're not like the East Coast in that. We're the type of people that say yeah, but not show up.
Oh yeah,
because we ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. Mm-hmm. Over, nobody ever just says no over here in California, mm-hmm. even if we didn't want to. We're like, no would be maybe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says maybe, that's definitely a no.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever just says straight up, nah, I ain't trying to go.
Mm-hmm. They'd be like, maybe. I might see you there. I might see you at this function or something like that.
Mm. Yeah. Which is basically no. It's just weird that how it turns out that way. And I don't know if it's because of the Hollywood influence or what. I don't know. It's just bizarre. I guess it's just not in us to say, you know, we probably late in having enough assholes in our side of the world kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. So what else did you have for your Adventures in Nerding, Garrett?
That's really about it.
I think that the Tarn and the Mega Mans were the big wins, mm-hmm. really, out mm-hmm. of all that.
But that's huge, man. That's pretty good. Anytime you can get damn near 50% off of any purchase of plastic crack, or a comic or anything, and that's a win, especially if it's something that you really wanted.
Well, I did get something off of eBay today, but it won't be here till almost the end of the month. But I got that for a pretty good deal.
Hopefully we'll be able to record.
I know, right?
I don't mind saying it. It's just the Generation Toy, the IDW Megatron, the stealth bomber one.
Oh, nice.
I still haven't got that yet. I need that in my life.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On eBay, it's $100 from China.
Mm-hmm. Long live China.
I'm like, I could pass that up.
Yeah, especially with the tariffs coming up pretty soon. You better hog that shit up.
I was reading something about that with the tariffs. China, you know, how it could potentially affect, you know, our hobby.
Hobbies.
Yeah.
There goes Transformers. Good thing I found my retirement plan with comics.
Who was I was talking to somebody online about that shit. They were like, oh, it was Justin. Shout out to Justin Lynette. He was like, from the TKO crew. He was, we were talking about something. He was like, yeah, my retirement fund is my collection. I know, right? Oh, I know what it was. It was somebody in shout out to the ROC. Somebody in that group had posted something that somebody had said in another group about. You know, they were bragging like, "Oh, my collection's worth $3,000. I'm balling. I'm the man." Da da da. and motherfuckers was like, yo, $3,000. I got $3,000 in one DTOF, son. Like, what is you
talking about?
I think it was TJ Duckett. Shout out to TJ Kuma Style. I think TJ was saying that. He was like, I got $3,000 in one DTOF. Like, what are you like? Get out of here.
TJ's my favorite elitist, though.
Yeah, I fucks with TJ heavy. That's my dude right there. He will always have, well, I shouldn't say he will always have, he used to always have at least one or two, like, legit Holy Grail figures in the background of his reviews in the details. Like, I would just be like, is that SOC Gunbuster? Like, you know?
He's all about the real premium robots, not the chump change robots.
Right, exactly. SOC shit, like super robots, like, yeah, his collection is exactly kind of like what I want my collection to be, like just a whole bunch of like super robots and like just That's what I like. I'm into that type of shit. Like big super robots, like Japanese, like Gunbuster and
Mazingers.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Detonator Organ and stuff like this.
I want to get into that, but I'm not gonna lie. I think Mazinger was probably the only one, and Voltage 5 was the only one that I really kind of got into. So, and other than that, I see a lot of really awesome robots, but since I missed that boat of watching it, you know, in my, I guess, the years when you're supposed to formulate a real deep love for these things, it just didn't happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, to the credit of, you know, Mazinger, but over here was what, Transor Z?
Transor Z, yeah.
To the credit of Transor Z over here, it made me a real huge fan of that bot, and I wouldn't mind just collecting that bot, and even if I didn't collect nothing else, that'd be the one thing I would definitely love to have on, you know, in my collection.
What would you say, I'm asking both of y'all, what would you say is the I don't want to say most expensive, but like your most prized possession, be it a comic or a figure or, you know, 1/6, you know, legend, whatever. What would you say?
Now, what do you mean by most prized? Like the most you spent or just most meaningful?
I would say both.
That's the bright blend of all of that, right?
Well, it can be, you can give two answers, I guess, right? So you can do one for, you know, your most prized possession in terms of meaningful to you, like Garrett said, or it can be, you know, your most expensive one, or it can be something that is both, right? So.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let me start this one off. So, something that feels kind of really meaningful for me as far as comics is concerned was my Deadpool at 9.8. New Mutants 98 at 9.8. And here's the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being one of the few people who, I would say, before Deadpool caught on, like really, really caught on, that was rooting for this guy. I was like, man, this motherfucker, y'all missing out. This motherfucker breaks the fourth wall. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Funny and shit.
So I had bought a slab copy at 9.8. back in 2010, and this is the only reason I did this, because I finally got a job to afford, but if I could back then, I would have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up for $70, and people were clowning me back then, saying, dude, there's a gazillion copies of that thing, and you spent $70 on a $3 book, you stupid ass. That's it.
Haters.
Right, I was like, okay, whatever. So, but for me, it was worth it because I've always liked Deadpool that much, and I also knew back then that he was gonna, you know, that Ryan Reynolds, if that movie ever happened, and this was, you know, again 2010, that this was gonna be a badass movie, because for me, Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds acting in character was synonymous. I was like, this guy is Deadpool.
I agree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now that book is anywhere from $700 to $1,000.
Oh, that's a come up. That's a come up.
Right. So I walk that proudly. Go, yeah, I remember all you motherfuckers clowning me back in 2010. Where you at now? You know, y'all, where your copies at? You know. And and again, that it wasn't the most. It's probably the most on tie with one of the most expensive books that I got. The other one is the first appearance of the Taskmaster, which was, I believe, Avengers. Oh my gosh, I'm getting old. It's 195 or 196. One of those numbers. Anyway, that book was that at the time was a $600 to $700 book, and of course, you know. Everybody wants the first Wolverine, which is like, I don't know, an insane amount of money. But a part of me just kind of want to put it at that grail level where it's just never going to happen kind of situation.
You don't think you'll ever be able to?
No, and you know, I'm to be honest, I'm not that big of a Wolverine, enough of a fan of Wolverine to put my house on the line for that. Yeah, no. And you know me, man. I think 9.8, good luck trying to find a copy at 9.8.
At 9.8, right, exactly, yeah.
Right, that isn't going to cost anywhere. That isn't going to cost 50 to 100K. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 9.6 I'll settle for, I guess.
Nah, but... son. 9.8 or it ain't popping.
I mean, for a book that old, you know what I mean? It's really hard to find anything.
Yeah, true. I'm being facetious. You're right.
But yeah, that's as far as, okay, now as far as Transformers are gonna go, now here's the funny part, y'all gonna laugh, but I really, the crowning piece in my collection, the one that I'm most proud of displaying, even though it's a piece of shit playing, is that the Giga powered combiner Dinobots, man. That shit's fucking awesome, dude. I don't care what anybody says. That shit still looks good.
Oh, wait, no, not Giga power. You mean
I'm not Giga power. Oh my gosh, that Giga power.
G Creations.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Wait a minute, Giga Power and release the
thing would be
4 feet tall.
Yeah, G Creations, that one. I still like the way that thing looks because I love how big it is. It's. I wish it functioned as well as it looked. For me.
He's a floppy mess, isn't he?
Well, I mean, most combiners really. I haven't played with a combiner that wasn't a floppy mess. The closest one to not being one is the Generation Toy Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, you know, it's just a mess. So, but of all the messes, that's the one that looks the best. that shines and sticks out in my collection.
Yeah.
So every time I look at it, it still makes me happy.
It is a nice piece.
Just wait till you get Toy World.
I did have that one, and man, I had to let that one go with a quickness because it was an even bigger floppy mess than the Giga Power one.
Well, you didn't have the updated one where they with all the fixes.
I'm over that entire experience, and when I compare the look to the G Creation one, I think the G Creation one has a nicer, beefier look to it.
It's chunkier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely chunkier than Constructor for sure. Constructor has a very sleek look. So, yeah, I was gonna say for me. Hands down, Constructor is my favorite thing. It's not the most, well, is it? No, it's not the most expensive thing I own, but it's definitely my favorite thing in my collection right now. So,
yeah. Price-wise/, you know, that ratio I was telling you about, definitely, because that cost over $500. Even though it was a floppy, expensive mess, it still presents well to me enough to make me happy. It does exactly what I needed to do, just kind of chill and look good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to pose, but not to play with. One of those traits. Right.
Yeah, now if you're talking about just like single piece, hands down, it's a tough choice between that Fans Hobby Gunfighter 2. And fans toys Jetfire.
What's his name?
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Those two are like probably the ones that if the house was burning, I'd probably grab first. Easily.
That's a good. I like the way you put that. I like the way. So Garrett, what about you? What are you grabbing first?
Well, most expensive would probably be Constructor, but probably the figure that has that means the most to me is probably back when SH Fig Arts was D Arts or something. I got a Digimon figure that had like this premium paint job. It was like metallic, and I was able to get a used one through a friend, but it was in perfect condition, and The character is called Omnimon. I don't know if you guys know anything
about
Digimon.
Oh, yeah, I know
Digimon.
Omnimon. Yeah, I do. I do. I fucks with Digimon. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoever says Pokemon or... Whoever says Pokemon is better than Digimon is lying. Because
yes.
Digimon was so much better.
That's true. This is true. This is true.
But
was it the,
yeah, that was probably one of my holy grails.
Is it, you had, was it like Merciful Mode, Angel Mode? Like
that's the newest one from the latest movie.
Oh, you okay? So you said you were talking about something older, right, from back in the day.
Oh, this is it's the original version of Omnimon, but it's like metallic paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'll see if I can send it a picture through the group chat.
Okay. Yeah, Omnimon is a good looking figure. I like he's got big feet. I remember vaguely.
But he's always been my favorite Digimon from the series. I remember when he was first introduced in the movie back when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. He has a very Gundam feel to him, like almost like a Wing Zero almost. Yeah. That's dope. That's what's up. Yeah, I love Digimon. I used to watch it religiously back in the day.
Oh, I've rewatched it recently.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the movies. It was my first love. It was before Transformers.
Nice.
He-Man was mine, which is why I have an extensive-ass Masters of the Universe collection outside of... Transformers.
What do you think about the She-Ra that's coming out?
Okay, so here's the thing. I get it. You know what people are trying to do. They're trying to become things, make things more inclusive, so that everybody feels like a better reflection of the real world and real life kind of situations, I guess.
Mm.
But for me. Couldn't they have just created new characters instead? Like, you didn't have to make Glimmer frumpy. She's the best-looking one in the original series, too. You know what I mean? But they made Glimmer the frumpy one. I'm like, oh, no, are you serious? And here's the thing, too. Like, I don't know if they made Bo black. And don't get me wrong. I'm happy that they added, you know, black characters in it, but you didn't have to turn a white guy into a black character. could you have come up with an original character instead? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, it's not catered to us 40-year-olds. It's catered to the young people. What I think that these guys missed out on, or like the studio that's doing this, they didn't realize, like, that the fandom is pretty. You know, the guys who are paying for all of this are guys who watch this stuff and. The parents are not going to be too happy about, you know, about this if they cared anything about the way He-Man and She-Ra was back in the day. I don't know, but that's just me. Because I don't know any kid right now who's watching Voltron. Do you know any kids watching Voltron on Netflix?
Well, my kids aren't watching Voltron.
Is it because you know? They is that the first thing they were looking forward to, or is it something of your influence?
No, I know where you're going. Yeah, definitely it was me watching it, and they were like, oh, look at this. This is cool. And then they started just like binge watching it from like season one. So
right. See, mm-hmm. that's my point. Like, I don't know any kid out there that just like, oh, I love Voltron without some kind of parental scaffolding. So, and the thing is, I don't know if the parents are down for this kind of, like, I don't know. I know that the fandom is split among the old guys like me. And personally, I'm like, the point of He-Man for me, and, you know, the reason why everybody looks good is because they worked hard to look good. And I just, it just, for me, just so bizarre to see this kind of, it's, you know, it's time to be more accepting because of or body shaming or whatever, you know, all of that kind of interjected into all of this. Like, can't something just be dope for, you know, if the original MO is for everybody to be beautiful and buff, can that just be it, and then be, you know, and be okay with that?
but you might offend somebody if you don't include a fat girl.
I'm a fat dude, and I'm okay with watching a bunch of good-looking people hang out in a just like you didn't see me complain when 90210 happened. You know? Like, okay, it's all right. You know.
That's funny. It's funny because it's true as fuck. Like,
like if I wanted to watch a story about, you know, real life and that kind of stuff, I would have watched Roseanne or
right, exactly,
you know, closer to real life situation or Seinfeld. You know, a better reflection of what regular people look like.
Okay, is it just me, right? Or is anytime somebody says Seinfeld, you immediately think of that guitar?
Yep, absolutely. Now here's the funny thing, right? You remember back then when it was Frasier versus Seinfeld? Yep. Those were the two that was going head in head. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was more of a Seinfeld guy. I mean, a Frasier guy.
Yeah, me too. I was Team Frasier. I was Team Frasier.
Because you know, I really enjoyed the snobbery.
They were both good shows, but I was Team Frasier all day.
Agree. That's where my sensibilities were. But I grew up to love Seinfeld just as much. But my first between the two of them would be Frasier, just because I love the dynamic between his brother, his dad, and you know, and his elitism. Made me feel like I should be striving to be better at things. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
I know it's getting late, brother, and you still need to get some, so.
Oh, she wifey went to sleep already, so it's all good. Oh, she not fell asleep.
I'll get some in the morning. We caught my bad.
It's all good. It's all good. I'll get it in the morning. It's all good. It's only our anniversary. That's only our 8th anniversary.
Every time I hear that, I hear that Tony song.
It's our anniversary.
I didn't know that song could go on for longer than 15 plus minutes.
Oh, it's long, man. It's a long ass fucking song.
Because when I hear it in the radio, obviously they cut it to the the 3 minute version or something. So, mm-hmm. But I didn't know when you got the CD that sucker went forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think like. I didn't even do my... Well, see, my Adventures in Nerding was corny. Like, I didn't do shit. I ain't gonna lie to you. I just did a lot of web development. Played the hell out of some video games. Assassin's Creed. Syndicate.
The new one, right?
Well, no, the Syndicate one. The one that's set in London.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. I've been playing that like crazy. Those games, Assassin's Creed games, are like almost like a panacea for me. Like, because I'm such a collection whore. Like, I like to, when I play an open world. We talked about this, and we'll get into it too. Because I want you to talk about Prototype and what we had spoken about in the chat, Garrett. But anytime, anytime you have a game that's open world that has something like a collectible thing in it, immediately I have a Pavlovian response to like just collect all that shit. Like, I need I need to go and get like all the helix glitches, like all the, you know, the chests and everything. So I've just been doing that like crazy. Barely touched the main story. Like, as a matter of fact, this whole time that we've been talking, I've been playing it. Just running around, opening up chests, and you know, grabbing helix glitches and stuff like that. Been playing a lot of Tekken 7 because that was on sale on Xbox. It was like 60% off, something ridiculous. So I bought the season pass and like the full ultimate version of the game for like something like $20. So I've been playing the shit out of that. To anybody listening in the sound of my voice, If you're on Xbox Live, add me. Afotey360, that's AFOTEY360. If you want some smoke and Tekken, my Alicia Boskanovich, I'm slaying motherfuckers right now. Like
so you're an Xbox?
Yeah, I play Xbox. I mean, I had a PS4, but I found that most of my friends that I was playing with back in the I shouldn't say back in the day. This is like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's not really back in the day per se, but when Xbox One first came out, most of my peoples were on Xbox Live. So I was just like, all right, let me just stick with that ecosystem. My brother has a PS4, and I'm over at, you know, his house a lot. So I play a lot of PS4 when I go over there. So that's where most of my PS4 experience, I should say most of it recently comes from that. But before then, I used to, you know, play PlayStation. I had a PlayStation 3 that I used to play the shit out of all the time.
Favorite console. Ever...
Mm-hmm. Oh, same with me.
The 3.
But if you ever decide to come over to the winning side, try Horizon. That game is the shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. Definitely. Correct on both points. I mean, Sony's PlayStation 4 sells more than Xbox's. It just does. At first, Xbox was selling way more than PlayStation, but PlayStation caught up and just passed it, like, by a nautical mile. Like, the exclusives that PlayStation had, that Sony has, is just... You know, because, you know, 70% of all games appear on both systems. Sometimes all three, if you include the Switch, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the exclusives, like, Sony's just killing it with the exclusives. That's why Microsoft had announced recently at E3 that they're like, okay, we're acquiring, what, 5 more in-house studios to ramp up our exclusive games, you know? Because they realize what it is, like. You know, Sony is just killing it with exclusives like Horizon, like, you know, The Last of Us, like the whole Nathan Drake series. You know what I mean? Like all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, everything Quantic Dream does for them, like all that kind of stuff.
They made a huge mistake in letting those guys at Bungie.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And speaking of PlayStation, well, I mean, this game is on Xbox too, but that Prototype, like we were talking about that in the chat, even though it's an older game, right?
Yeah.
But
even though they did make like a bundle of like where it came with Prototype 1 and 2 plus all the DLC for PS4, but I would have gotten it, but I heard it had a lot of glitches.
Oh, word? Wow, that sucks. Because that's a good-ass game. Both of them are good.
Oh, yeah. I was tempted to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we were talking about in the chat, like the traversal mechanic, man, like shit, any open world game that has like a dope ass traversal mechanic, man, like I'm about it. Like I love being able to just move through the world in a really easy fashion, right? Like the one good thing about, Grand Theft Auto games, like especially Grand Theft Auto 5, honestly, doesn't really have a great traversal mechanic outside of the cars, right? Like, you can get cars, you can get planes, you can get any vehicle you want, and that's cool, that's fun. But the character, you know, the characters, I should say, right, because you can play 3 different characters, they don't really have any way to get around except for, like, running and walking, right? So it's not that much fun in that sense. Where it, you know, excels is in everything else, obviously, right? Grand Theft Auto 5 is still, you know, getting played real crazy heavy by a bunch of people, even though it's mad old.
Oh yeah.
But games like Prototype, like Just Cause, to an extent this Assassin's Creed Syndicate, you know, with the grappling hook mechanic, yo man, I could just go in these games and just literally just go from one end of the map to the other, and that's it, like, and have hella fun just doing that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm always down to watch my friends play the video games and stuff, man. So I just can't play them myself. The only games I like playing, y'all gonna laugh because you know I got old school tendencies.
You got 8-bit tendencies.
Yeah, man. Like 16-bit is where I peak. You know.
Yeah, 16-bit.
like of the new gen games out there that that's out, that's hot, that's actually popular, the only game I'm looking forward to is that Octo Traveler one. Octopath Traveler. It's the new Square Enix game out there.
That's supposed to be
one of the better RPGs out there, JRPGs. So
yeah,
until Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out.
Finally. Fucking finally.
Here's the thing. I never liked the Disney aspect of that game.
Don't you finish that fucking sentence, yo. You better not finish that sentence.
I was just never into it. But I respected that the game mechanics and how they were able to integrate, the Square Enix characters. But it's just so weird to see Goofy and maybe it was just Mickey and Donald, but when Goofy was added in the mix, I was like, oh, no. No.
That's a pretty good Donald. Who did that? Was that Garrett? That was you?
Yeah.
That's a damn good Donald, bro.
I can't do it.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 is... definitely.
That's long overdue.
long overdue. Long.
I'm surprised they didn't do more, because it was so popular back then.
Mm-hmm. Long overdue for that one. And that's another Sony exclusive, right? The Kingdom Hearts series is Sony exclusive.
But 3 is supposed to be on Xbox also.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You're gonna have to support it just cause. Yeah. I did that with a couple of games too. Like, on principle, I bought some just because I didn't play it, but because they became available, I did. Nice. Like, I forgot. Like, there was a game that was exclusively for Xbox for a minute, and the moment that it showed up in PS3, I had to act on it. I believe it was the gosh dang it. It was one of the popular space series. N7. Come on, guys. Help me out here. N7.
Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm. Mass Effect. Yeah. Remember when that was just the Xbox thing for a minute and then...
Yeah.
I could never get into those games.
Oh, man. They're great. They're really, really good. They're all, really good.
Version 1 they made.
Yeah. I'm playing Andromeda right now. Well, not right now, this second, but... It's in my, my lineup. I haven't, that's the latest one. I haven't I haven't finished it yet. But it's what I like most about the Mass Effect series is the lore. Like, the whole universe is very rich. It's a very, very rich universe. There's a lot of, technical complexity about it. You know what I mean? I like that type shit. It's almost like hard science fiction, You guys know the difference between soft and hard science fiction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for
me who may have forgotten, remind me.
So soft science fiction is something like a Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, right? Like fanciful, even almost like a Star Wars. Star Wars is kind of like soft science fiction, right? Hard science fiction is more very technical, very plausible. Like, any sort of science fiction that deals with, like, it could, be, technically feasible. You know what I mean? It's just more. I see. Yeah.
I see. Soft is more like there's a lot of room for error for the purposes of the
narrative.
For the narrative, right? Exactly. And the hard science fiction is more like, well, let's get to the nitty gritty of whether or not this can be done in a real space. Yeah.
And Mass Effect is really good at a lot of this is not really revealed to you unless you read some of, like, because again, I'm a collector fucking whore when it comes to these games. I like to go around and pick up all the the notes that people done left behind and the data pads. I read all that shit. And a lot of the story is laid out in those. And, they'll go deep into, technical details about the way the N7 works, the zero drive and the science behind it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you scan planets, they give you like the atmospheric makeup. Like this planet is, you know, 60% hydrogen and 40% nitrogen. And, you know, its orbital period is 3.7 Earth years and like stuff like that.
No, so, I love that too.
That's what I like about the Mass Effect. And it's pretty. They're like really pretty games, and I'm a graphics whore, so I like that type shit. But
I gotcha.
Speaking of video games.
Did you ever try out that game, that No Man's Sky, that was supposed to be good?
Yeah, for a little bit, but I kind of lost interest. Like, I was really hyped about that. Like, I was posting shit about that on my page before it came out in anticipation, because... Like you said, Garrett, it was supposed to be really good. It was very ambitious, like extremely ambitious.
Now releasing all the stuff that they were supposed to originally have in the game.
I heard about that.
But just the fact that it technically was like an entire universe with like all these like trillion planets, and every single one of them had their own time of day, their own... The whole idea of it was really cool, but
it was very
the game itself was just so boring, because you were just trying to collect all these elements just to get to the next planet, and then you would just do the same thing over again.
I remember in the beginning when it was first announced, and they released like trailers and you know, in-game footage and gameplay, I was like, oh, look at this, like, this dude then went from the surface of a planet to outer space, you know, to a whole nother, like, galaxy, like, seamlessly, like, you know, in-game with, like, no load times. I was like, oh, man, they done gave us a legit whole universe, like.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, like Skyrim and you know, these types of games, they'll give us a whole sort of like continent, but these motherfuckers then went and gave us a legit universe.
Entire universe.
Like, you know what I mean?
Pretty
vast. Yeah. So it was hella ambitious. So I was really excited for that. But yeah, like you said, Garrett, it was supposed to be good, but
I immediately traded it in for Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. That was a good call, bro. Good call.
One of the best decisions I ever made.
Yup. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, before it went down in price. Yeah.
Shit. They want. That's funny that you say that, because I was just looking. They have deal. I'm sure they do the same thing on PlayStation, but they have deals like every, you know, week there's like a new game that's on sale for like 50-60% off, and sometimes I just look for them, you know, and I was looking and I thought I saw No Man's Sky in there, which was weird, because number one, I thought it was I thought it was a PlayStation exclusive initially.
This new one is supposed to be on Xbox.
Oh, okay, so that's why. Yeah.
The one that with all the updates and stuff is supposed to be called No Man's Sky Next or something.
Oh boy.
So it's an entirely new game. So that's why the original one is so much cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because they want to distance themselves from that fuck up.
From that shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Because I was looking at the price. I was like, oh, No Man's Sky is on Xbox now. Okay, let me see what's good with this. Is it on sale? If it's on sale, I'll go for it.
I think it was. I think it was like $15-$20.
Mm-hmm.
But that's without all the good stuff, though.
Yeah, so it's not even worth it. Speaking of games, and Garrett, you live in Vegas. What's the name is next week? Evo is next week.
Oh, yeah. I've been there once.
You went to Evo?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I want to be like you when I grow up.
I'll get into that dance.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there was when Marvel's Capcom 3 was their big tournament.
Mm.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. Evo was the shit. I watched that regularly on Twitch, on you know, any sort of streaming platform that there is. I'm always watching it. Like, I watch it religiously. I love fighting games. It's like my favorite genre of game.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be one of those guys that cheered for people in real life that was whooping ass, especially in such technical ass games like Street Fighter 3.
Mm-hmm. Street Fighter 3 is hella technical. Guilty Gear. What do they have this year? They got Tekken 7. They got
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yup, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Blaze Blue, the cross tag one, Guilty Gear, Injustice 2. What else do they have? Oh, they got Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but Super Smash, they're waiting for the ultimate one to come out.
The one with every single
everybody.
Character. That's madness. Nintendo ain't playing. Nintendo said, we want all your money.
I think it said, though, that this is the last Super Smash.
Really? The last one?
That's what I heard.
That sucks.
That's a loss of money. Why would they?
That's unfortunate.
Because it's Nintendo?
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't do things that make sense for most companies. But they still succeed somehow, which is crazy.
Because but most of Nintendo's most popular games are always the same type of games. It's always Super Smash, Mario, Pokemon. It's always like those same three brands, maybe plus a few other ones, now that they've introduced like Splatoon and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always the same type of games, and that's usually what they make most of their money off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. Like when they feel that something is not financially feasible, they don't give it the royal treatment no more. Like Metroid was such a dope property of theirs, and they kind of just really sat on it forever, you know?
Yeah, the one on the that was on the Wii, I remember that one was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very excited about whatchamacallit. I can't front Evo. I want to see.
When is that again?
It's supposed to be next week. I don't know which day, but actually, no, this week. It starts Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, the pools, round one pools start Friday. Yeah, it's free, but it's all the way in Vegas. I can't make it out there.
That's too far.
Yeah, that's way too far for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but the whole thing will be streaming on Twitch anyway, so we can catch it that way. So I want to see the homie, what's his name? This Korean dude, his name is, what's his name, Chanel? He's apparently the best Elisa Boskanovich player in the world in Tekken 7. So I've been watching a lot of his stuff on YouTube. Like, this guy's a beast with that character. And she's my main in that game, so.
I'm just not going to watch anybody.
Exactly.
You know, play. But even, I guess even more so when you have a known
quantity.
Yeah, quantity out there. Mm-hmm. Like, remember, did you ever watch that video of that one dude who retired from Street Fighter 2 who whooped everyone's ass?
And what's his name? Not Justin Wong. Is it Justin Wong?
So, yeah, I guess so. I forget his name. But it's funny, the other two guys are like, man, I was waiting to dethrone this fool, and he just disappeared before we ever got a chance to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So those guys are never able to try to win the crown. Mm-hmm. Perpetually number two and below.
Sucks.
But I don't blame him. I was like, you know, if you didn't have the talent to beat him those first 2 years, you know, you
ain't gonna do it. it ain't finna happen.
I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. That's crazy. So, fellas, I think this is going to do it for me, because I know you guys are on the West Coast over there, but it's about to be...
I know, super late for you, so...
Yeah, so I'm taking it down.
Yeah, for us, it's only 9:30.
So, I understand. Believe me, I wouldn't want to keep you up any later than...
No, that's cool. The only reason is because like, I have to get up super early tomorrow and post a video of me jogging like last time.
The progress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
All right, team. Well, you know what it is. We shout out all the people in the Cool Table Network. You know, we got our boys, Plastic Fanatics, Fresh Communications, the Lego Cats building up to it. Let's see. The what's the main one? The main rock show. The rock show we have. I get confused if they're still doing
Enter the Realm.
The Enter the Realm anymore versus the new one that they're doing. Man, I'm getting old. My mind is skipping. I listen to Jose in that show all the doggone time. And I can't remember what it's freaking called right now. But yeah, that. And of course, you know, our boys are. It'll come to mind, I think. Shattercast, Uncut, the original of the bunch that got me in the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And of course, us, Toy Detox. And, you know, our boys from TKO, even though they're not part of the Cool Network.
Those guys are cool as fuck. They're still the homies.
Exactly.
And, oh, Beers and Bolters, 40K.
Beers and Bolters, 4K. Nerd Rage Video.
8 weeks. Well, 8 weeks. 8 weeks, yeah, right. Plastic Fanatics.
I love
Breaking
that.
The Mold.
Breaking the Mold. Mold.
There you go. That's the one. That's the name. There you go. Breaking the Mold. Word. There you go.
Good catch.
That's the one. Who else? Yeah, I listen to them cats all day. Those guys at Plastic Fanatics is a marathon. They get long ass.
I know. We think our podcasts are long. They're like super long, those guys. Yeah, but it's good, though. It's good stuff.
Actually, I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't their SDC like 6 hours long?
Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't even think it recorded all the way. Like, they had a bunch of things, but when I tried to download that thing, it cut off after 45 minutes, and after that, there was just a bunch of dead silence.
Mm.
5 hours of dead silence.
Wow.
I was like, no.
That's interesting.
I hope they re-release the that episode, because I like listening to them cats, you know, do their blast from the past.
Yeah.
James real good with their I just kind of like enjoy their setup. So.
Yeah, we have I can't front, man. We got a good bunch of a nice variety of talent and content within the Cool Table Network. It's pretty dope, man.
No, agreed. I just wish I had more time, man, because there's just so many of us. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Believe me, I'm worried that if I get into another one of them podcasts, that my money will be dipping into a whole other
family. I know. We're literally all enablers. Like, we enable each other. Like, it's crazy.
It's bad enough that I'm a Star Wars Lego fiend. I'm worried that if I listen to building up to it, it'll force me to go back to all them vintage sets.
Do it, Yule. Do it. Did we shout out Stasis Lock? Shout out Stasis Lock.
Yeah. The Beast Wars cats. The few and the proud.
The few and the proud. Exactly.
Very proud.
The very proud. Shout out to anybody that likes Beast Wars. Like, you know, it's okay. It's okay.
Not everybody got good taste. Not I'm being such an ass. But you know what? I'm not trying to shit on anyone's fandom. But it was just for me, it was so weird that they called it Transformers. If it was just called Beast Wars and had nothing to do with Transformers, I think I would have liked it more. But that what do you call it? Cognitive dissonance. It was too much for me to, for my feeble mind to bear. You know.
The homie,
I didn't even get into Transformers until like the Unicron trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in 2001 or 2002.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember a while back. This guy, who is it, Robert? I think it was Robert G. Or Robert G. Robert D.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Robert? I don't know if Robert's a huge Beast Wars guy. I don't think he
is. Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's a huge Beast Wars
Yeah, guy. He is. Yeah, we were having a conversation about that. It was funny.
Why he bought two Dinobots. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It was me, Bobby, Mickey. I think Dust, too. It might have been Dust, too. I don't know. But we were ragging on him for liking Beast Wars. It was all in fun, though. Robert D's the homie.
Yeah, again, it's the Beast Wars story and stuff. It was better developed and everything. But man, when I was a kid, or I'll say when I was an adult at that point, I just my mind couldn't deal with the fact that these things had fur.
I couldn't fuck with it. Like I'm okay with it. I appreciate and respect, or well, maybe not respect, but I appreciate. Yeah. And I dig the fact that it exists. I'm glad it happened. I'm you know, anything Transformers related that exists, to an extent, I'm okay with, right? Like even the Bay stuff. Like I'm not a huge fan of the Bayformer stuff, but I'm glad it exists because somebody likes it, right? And anybody liking Transformers in my book is a good thing, right? Yeah. But having said that. I could never get into them Beast Wars joints, man. I just couldn't, yo. I couldn't. And it wasn't the fact that they were animals. It was just the fact that the way they looked when they became animals. It wasn't robotic enough for me.
I'm sure if they looked like Zoids, you would have been down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? If they look like Zoids or even like, you know, the Monster Bots and the Predacons, like. Right. Those guys, like, you know what I mean? They were animals, you know, monsters. Like, I was okay with their looks, but they looked mechanical. They looked robotic, you know what
Agreed.
I mean?
Agreed.
Like, yeah, so, you know. Agreed. But that's just my own.
Did you guys ever see the Beast Wars Robot Chicken?
Nah.
Oh, I gotta send you that one. That one's funny.
I ain't never seen that shit.
Now, this is going to sound kind of messed up because I know that the Beast Wars guys really, really love their Beast Wars stuff, right? The cartoons and everything. It's real deep for them, right? Like, if there was an opportunity for Transformers to have been a comedy, that would have been it. You know what I mean? And the cartoon may have taken itself away a little too seriously if you think about it. You know what I mean? So, like, if you told me that this was a show about animals that transform and it was just goofy as like it was just straight comedy, I think I would have appreciated it for that. But I think it tried to take itself a little too seriously. And who could take it seriously if you got fur and a robot but with fur? How does that even happen?
Yeah,
I just put it in the group chat.
Yeah, I saw it. You just did it. I'm gonna peep that before I go to bed.
Alright. Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, folks.
Awesome,
good night.
Guys. Good night, everybody. Love each other. Stay up. Detox.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Love that.
<All right. laughs>